In the wake of the death of Queen Elizabeth, I called my friend Mike O'Houlihan, who's Irish, and said, hey, do you have anything to say? And he did say something, but it will never see print, and I will never tell anybody what he had to say. Mike is one of the most creative and entrepreneurial people on the arts and cultural scene that has who has ever existed in the city of Chicago.
Oh, thank you.
I'm dead serious about that. Also, on the political scene, I do want to ask you some political questions in the next half hour.
Sure.
But Mike will be here all the way till 7:30 with his son, Billy, who is a radio star. He's had a show for 9 years now. Yeah. Is it 9 years?
We start our ninth year in October, yeah, at the beginning of the...
That's nine years to me, Billy. What's the show?
It's the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour, and it's a podcast too.
But it's
me and my twin brother, and it's just and sometimes it's our third wheel, Clay O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
But it's former guys who were trained in improv a little bit, and some of us that went to Second City. My brother did a little time over there. It's a comedy hour, and it's kind of, but it's also a show kind of that's catered towards a demographic of anywhere between 20 to 50, and it's more or less kind of what's it like to be a young Irish American during these times in America, and what you're going through and the trials and tribulations of whether or not you're a parent and how you can deal with work, and stress.
Your father has had to incredibly inspire and influence you boys.
For sure. Yeah, I think when we started doing it, I remember he came to us 9 years ago and said,
wait a minute, I'm the radio star.
He said, you guys are going to do your own show. And I went, he goes, come on, we need you guys to do a show. I said, well, what am I going to do it about? I don't know. He says, just you guys be you.
Yeah.
And you'll figure it out. It took us a while goofing around and playing with different characters and learning our cadence and kind of discovering who we are as our own individual characters on the air and how we mesh with each other. And then now it's just like riding a bike every week.
It's great.
We have a great time doing it.
Where can people listen to it?
You can listen to it on 1240 AM WSBC on Saturday nights at 8 o'clock.
And it's podcast, so you can listen
And then
to
the
it
podcast,
anytime.
You could just go on to Apple iTunes and search for the Hooli's Hooli, and that's HOULI'S, and then Hooli, like our movie Hooli.
Movie Hooli.
Which is HOOLEY, and that's a party in Gaelic. So
their show is also on Global Irish Radio,
that's
streaming
correct.
Every Saturday night from 8 to 9.
Yeah. So three
right
different
after
outlets
mine.
To see
okay,
it.
Okay, Bill, your promotion's over.
Thank you.
The movie, I am ever fascinated, Mike, with the way in which this thing started. It started due to your frustration.
Exactly.
About not being able to get my Irish...
Our Irish Cousins.
Yeah.
That was a film I did... I think in 2009. Actually, Billy's in the film.
It was me and my family.
Yeah, it was me and Bill on the book tour. That's right. Yeah. We shot all of that. And then we went to Ireland and discovered our roots. And still holds up. I was watching it the other day.
I'm still, the favorite, one of my great favorite critics of all time, Roger Ebert.
Oh, yeah.
He loved the
God
movie.
God bless him.
Yeah. He loved the movie.
Yeah.
And you tried to get this in. You thought, not naively, I think, realistically, well, I'll just get this in a few Irish-American film festivals and see what happens.
First thing I did was try to get in the Galway Film Fly, and everybody said, well, you're not even, you're a Yank. And I said, yeah, but I know Jimmy Dinahan. He's the Minister of Culture. And come on, I'm from Chicago. He'll put the fix in for me. And that blew up in my face big time. But, then I figured, oh, well. And then I find out there are no Irish-American film festivals.
I mean, that literally, Mike, that had to stun you. Because it stunned me. Yeah. When
that
first...
there weren't any of them?
Yes.
No. Oh, yeah.
You know what is strange about it, and it's still hard to find, we have an Irish-American film festival, and we always do at least two films from Ireland, and then the third one is the Irish-American film. That's the hardest one to find, because I guess young filmmakers today don't think of themselves as Irish-American, which is sad, but there's an identity there that needs to be, everybody needs a niche, and I was looking for a niche, and I found one, and I encourage all independent filmmakers, look at where you come from and go back and make films about that. That's where you started. I think that's important.
Now, it took were there 2 years off during the pandemic?
It was 2020 was the year off.
2020.
Yeah.
How many films came in for this one? I know they're...
This year?
Yeah.
You know, I've learned, I just go out and find the films mostly. I may be five, six, half a dozen. Yeah. But I find the good ones now because I have relationships with all these with filmmakers in Ireland and in America. And I have friends at the Irish Echo where I write a column every once in a while. And so they put a thing out, you know, a pitch just for Irish American films. That's how I find the really good ones. And that's how I found this one, Tom McNamara's film, The Boys of Kingsbridge.
It's an astonishing film. I have seen all three of these, as I said, and we'll be giving short little reviews in Tuesday's paper to try to get you to see all of them, frankly. A couple of them are odd, strange.
Oh, yeah, they're hilarious.
Rom-coms. Yeah. I think they're rom-coms or horror rom-coms or whatever this stuff is. But the Knightsbridge one, which I'll devote a large portion of the next half hour to, you changed venues, too. In a way, I don't know if I can say it's an expansion of, but in a way it is.
Yeah, sure it is.
For years, it was held at the Siskel Film Center.
Yeah.
For 3 nights, and you could walk a block to the Emerald, whatever it is.
The Emerald Loop.
Sure.
Yeah. My friend Eamon Vaughn, yeah.
Why the change this year?
Well, COVID, downtown, too expensive, and it's kind of dystopian down here now. It kind of scares me, and I thought, why don't we take that doesn't mean we weren't going to be going back to the Siskel eventually,
right. But
let's go right to the audience. And I raised my kids in River Forest, which is right next to Oak Park, and then a friend of mine said, we have the Wilmette Theater. They have all these little classic theaters.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I know.
And they need programming, and they were open-armed, embraced me and said, come, yes. So we're excited about that, bringing it right to Oak Park and then bringing it right to Wilmette, two consecutive weekends. And it's, you don't have to pay $50 to park, and you're not going to get knocked over the head when you're parking your car or anything.
Right.
Well, hopefully that'll all come back. The good days will come back. But for now, that's what we're doing.
I think that's a very wise decision, Bill. You must think so, too.
Yeah, we wanted it to be in an environment where people felt safe. They recognized where they were going.
Yeah.
It was easily accessible.
Well, so I also think you're tapping into, basically, even when it was at the Siskel, to an untapped audience
in both these
suburbs.
Yeah, sure.
It is in Oak Park this coming weekend and in Wilmette the following weekend. It's over 3 nights, too.
Yes, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yeah.
How's it selling?
I don't know.
Right.
That's a good question.
Right, yeah.
I should call over there. But, you know, these little theaters, you know, they don't go from the advanced sales viewpoint.
Of course.
You know, it's just like the theater when you were a kid. You went over and you paid your 50 cents and you walked in.
Door, yeah.
Yeah. So I have no idea. I'm just hoping for the best. But
you're aware, as Billy is too, that this is an untapped audience for you, I think.
Yeah,
and you could not pick two better suburbs in which to have
absolutely.
These.
Sure.
My brother lived in Wilmette, raised his family there, so I have a lot of context there. I raised my kids just right across the street in River Forest. So we know a lot of people there, a lot of friends, and two very strong Irish-American communities as well. So I think it's a natural.
Well, one of the other hallmarks of the Irish American movie Hooli is you have, and I don't know this year, you have some of the filmmakers come in.
Yes, absolutely. That's always been the key. Bring the filmmakers here from Ireland. Have the audience meet them. Thank God for the Hilton Chicago. They sponsor it. They put them up. Also, our sponsor, Tullamore Dew, helps cover a lot of the expenses. And we bring them into Chicago, many of them who have never been here.
Yeah, I know. They've had some interesting times here, too.
Oh, have they ever?
As you told me, off-air. Some very interesting times. But I think that's great. That's another aspect of guys, that is really good. You're exposing these Irish filmmakers to America. It is Chicago, and it's one of the great Irish
couldn't pick a better city to come and do that.
And making friends for life.
Exactly.
You know?
So
when I go to Ireland, I go every year, I go and have beers with these guys, and we just have a guest. I'll tell you a funny story.
Hold on, though.
Okay.
You'll tell it after
All right.
we get some. Let's get some.
Okay.
news. I have to hit this because Krista Flores, the great engineer, wants to take a break at 56.
On this one, yeah.
30. Welcome back. The Irish American Movie Hooli takes place next weekend at the Lake Theater in Oak Park and the following weekend at the Wilmette Theater in Wilmette. It is a gathering on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays of three, I think, extraordinary movies. A couple of them are very weird, but pleasantly weird.
Yes, some make you laugh.
Yeah.
No question.
Oh, no, there's no question about it. And also just well-made,
yes,
well-made films. You have had a tradition, Mike Houlihan, over the 8 years of the movie Hooli, of having filmmakers come in.
Yes.
Who's coming in for these?
The director, writer-director of Extraordinary, Enda Lachman, is coming in. He's coming in the second weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Philip Doherty, the writer and director of Redemption of a Rogue, will be here this coming weekend. And this, believe it or not, was his first film.
Really?
Yes. And it won first film, and it won best film at the Galway Film Festival.
It's an accomplished movie, no
it's
question.
Really good. Yeah, very funny, and the music is great. And it's amazing for a young guy, and that's his first film. He has a great future ahead of him. I'm looking forward to hanging out with him. And that's one of the things I like about it, is we go out drinking with the filmmakers, and it's a blast. And I was just going to tell you a story. We used to do the Irish Hour when they were on Saturday morning.
Sure.
And the Irish American film would always go first. Now we've switched that around. But a kid named Kevin Fortuna had a film called The Dunning Man.
Oh, yeah.
And I had interviewed him and found out he was a multimillionaire. But I kept my mouth shut. You know, I figured I'll try to get in his pocket later.
Yeah. I'll try to get his money later.
But I had all the Irish guys with me at George's restaurant in Oak Park after the show, and they had watched the guy's film. So they're making wisecracks about the Yank. I said, hey, let me tell you guys something. You're looking for money for your next film? Then, yeah, I said, you better get on that guy because he is a multi-million. And their eyes popped out. Sure enough, 20 minutes later, one of them was on the phone with the guy. And they got, I mean, he became an associate producer on their next film.
He did.
It was Colin Broderick. And his film was, what was his film last year?
Bend in the River?
Bend in the River. He got Kevin Fortuna to put big money into Bend in the River.
Yeah.
So you never know the relationships that are going to develop. And then also Julie Ryan, who was the producer of The Young Offenders, was also a producer on Bend in the River. So
right.
It's great the way things turn out.
And then you had John Connor's work on one film with
right.
Broderick.
And then his own film. With the Cardboard Gangsters, he was the star.
With O'Malley.
Yeah.
Mark O'Malley, right?
Mark O'Connor.
O'Connor.
Yeah. So it's a great mix.
All connected.
Everybody. Mark O'Connor, very successful filmmaker in Ireland, invited me to. He was shooting a trailer for his next film in Cannes in May. Okay.
Yeah.
So he calls me and he goes, would you like to be like the line producer for the maybe a week while we're in Cannes? And I'm thinking, me? I don't speak French. I'm in a villa in Cannes with all these chicks in bikinis, and we're all drinking.
And I don't wear a bikini.
And I'm fat as hell, and thinking, this could be the biggest mistake I ever make. I said, you know what? Discretion is a better part of valor. And I sent a friend, Sarah Hand, who's from Ireland, who was already in Ireland. She did it. But I got a
flattered, flattering to be asked.
Yes, exactly. It is.
Flattering.
It is very flattering.
Flattering to be asked.
Do I want to come to Cannes for a week and hang out in a villa?
Yeah.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. Oh, God. So each of the weekends begins with a Friday of Extraordinary.
Right.
Describe that movie. If I'm going to have to do it, I have to do it in print. It's kind of a supernatural film.
Yeah, somebody called it an Irish Ghostbusters. There's a young woman, actually she's played by Maeve Higgins, who's hilarious, and she has extra
powers.
Yeah, ESP powers. But they drive her nuts. So she's trying to. People keep calling her to ask her, you know, I have a ghost in my dustbin. And she's sick of it. And this guy calls her and says, my daughter is possessed, and I need your help. And she goes, oh. She goes, and the daughter's levitating, you know, right out of
Exorcist,
and she's flipping around, and she goes, "Oh my God." And then she falls in love with the guy who's the father.
See, that's a charming thing about this film. It's basically a love story.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so Maeve, I can't remember her character's name, decides to help him and bring, you know, it's that. And then there's this insane, Will Forte plays this insane bust-out rock star who is a Satanist, and he wants to make a sacrifice out of the guy's daughter, and it's nuts.
It is
but
nuts.
But very funny.
Charmingly nuts.
Yes.
Redemption of a Rogue, which is the Saturday night feature at both Oak Park and Wilmette, is also, I think, a very compellingly strange
yeah.
film.
Yeah.
A guy shows up back in town.
He's a prodigal son.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody hates him because he, in the big soccer or the big football match, he let the ball go through his hands, and he's been shunned ever since. And now he's back 7 years later after a dissolute life. And
there was also a car crash.
Just insanity. And he's the biggest, probably the most horrible human being you'll ever meet. And he has a scene with his father, and he goes, "Sorry, Dad. You know, I know I haven't been around except for that time I needed the bail money, and that wasn't for bail money, Dad. I used it on booze and prostitutes and crystal meth."
Yeah.
And then his dad croaks right in front of him.
Well, his dad croaks, but his dad also comes back.
Oh, yeah.
His dad turns into a ghost.
Yes.
And it is, you know, I was very, those would be two very difficult movies. I came to you.
Pitching.
Billy and Mike Houlihan said, "I've got an idea for a movie. Yeah. It's about a woman who's sort of a lonely woman who's kind of has supernatural powers." And then the other one would be even a harder pitch, I think. It is about a terribly, for most of the movie, a terribly unlikable person.
And they're done on pretty high-end budgets.
Oh, no question. They're both beautiful.
Very good production values and everything. Yeah.
Let us talk for a moment. Well, let's take a little break and then come back and talk about what I think is one of the most haunting films I've ever seen. The Boys from Kingsbridge. Haunting. We'll take a break and be back and devote the rest of the show to that. Again, go to the best website for this is IberianTransmedia.org.
MovieHooly.org.
Okay, MovieHooly.org. Mike has like a million... million websites.
Yeah.
But you should go. I mean, the two intimate theaters.
You'll have a great time. I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
And we're raffling off a bottle of Tullamore Dew at every show.
There you go.
Free raffle.
And so probably be some other swag from Tullamore.
Oh, yeah.
That's six bottles. Six bottles. Six bottles. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome back. I am with Mike and his son, Billy Houlihan, and we are talking about the latest. Does it often amaze you when you first started the movie Hooli 8 years ago? Did you say to yourself, "Well, there will be 20 Irish American film festivals"? You're still a lone wolf.
Yeah, that I know of. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I'm proud of that. To tell you the truth.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah. I don't blame you. This, when you saw this movie, this is the one that takes place on Sundays. Huh. The next two Sundays, the first one in Oak Park, and the second one in Wilmette. It is called The Boys from Kingsbridge, which is a section of the Bronx.
Very Irish-American section, yeah.
Did you know anything about this film before you saw it for the first time? Billy, did you?
No.
My friend Peter McDermott at the Irish Echo printed a plea. We need an Irish-American film, and this guy called me. And he goes, "Is this Hooli?" I go, "Yeah, who's this?" Tom McNamara in L.A. And these guys all grew up together in the Bronx.
Within blocks of each other.
And they were all altar boys together. It's so Irish, American, Catholic.
Yeah. Yep.
And all in the same, within a year or two of each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Ages.
Yeah.
And
they played baseball together.
Right.
They were altar boys together.
And one of their dads had been like the guy in the neighborhood who took all the home movies.
Home
of the kids.
There's some brilliant, wonderful, evocative home movies in this thing.
But it just so happened that, and one went off to be a fireman, another one was on the bomb squad for NYPD, another one is a building engineer, and another guy, I can't remember, but all involved and they were all on the same block, ground zero on 9/11.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable
and
story.
And this McNamara had by that point moved to L.A. and was a filmmaker.
And he said, he sat them down. They were all his old friends.
Yeah.
And filmed it and did a terrific job.
Well, that's one of the things about it, which I'll write about in Tuesday's Tribune for those of you who get the Tribune, is there is an incredible intimacy and honesty there, and where you realize there's no filmmaker could have come and said, hey, look, I found four guys, I'm going to interview them. I don't care who the interviewer is. They have this foundational relationship.
Yeah. They've known each other since the first communion.
That allow these four guys, who are probably not in their normal lives the most forthcoming, introspective kind of people, but they felt obviously so comfortable with this filmmaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
What did you think, Billy, when you saw that film? I was
same thing that you're pretty much saying right now, too. And just, I mean,
they all did a heroic thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably what, like, there had to have been something within their own personal spirit that lifted them to do this movie.
Yeah.
To get them to tell this story.
Yeah.
Which is
and they
incredible.
Saw things that nobody should ever have to see.
No kidding. Well, one of the other things about it, I do not think if you encountered, and it's not my place to say this, but if you encountered these four guys individually or together at some bar somewhere, I don't think they'd all be going, hey, I'm a hero, this.
No,
I'll bet. It sounds to me, in a sense, they were in a war.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
That lasted for a number of days, and they saw horrors that no normal person should have to see or no normal person does see.
And may not ever talk about it again.
I couldn't agree with you more.
They let down they did it for their old pal, Tommy McNamara, and boy, they got a story to tell.
Each one of them had, and one of the other remarkable things about it is, each story is distinct.
Yes.
There's no overlap.
No.
They didn't see the same people.
They didn't see each other that day, but they all saw something, I can tell you.
Well, they knew that they were around, but it was so overwhelming. I have, and it's, you know, the anniversary of the whole thing today.
Yeah.
I think it is a document that deserves to live on and be shown forever.
Absolutely.
There's a whole generation. There's a generation of people who don't even know what this was.
No,
it's a
good point.
Strange
notion.
I was incredibly moved by the whole thing, and moved by the courage of these guys.
Yes.
There are probably a lot of people who experience similar things who are now in nut houses.
Yeah,
and or dead.
Exactly
for some of the things that happened there.
Yeah.
Do you know this McNamara?
On the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he like?
Terrific guy. You know. He runs the Irish gift shop in Hollywood. He has a little theater there called the Wren Theater and puts on plays and stuff. And he's been very involved in the Irish cultural scene in L.A. and for years. But he's from Kingsbridge. I don't know when he went to L.A., but he's on the hustle like anybody else, but just a terrific guy. And he's going to be here like the other filmmakers.
Wow.
We're putting him up for the weekend at the Hilton. I'm sure we'll have him on the architecture tour. And
has he been to Chicago before? Do you know?
No, I didn't ask him. I'll have to find out. Yeah,
matter.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see. What's always is the one filmmaker watches the other filmmaker's work.
Yeah,
but usually. Really blown away by the, what they
now. Is
seen.
This McNamara guy who runs an Irish shop and he's involved in the Irish community? Has he made a lot of? Has he been a filmmaker?
No. He's working on a show right now about the Clancy brothers, a stage show.
Oh, how great!
Which I think is a terrific idea.
So do I. So do I.
So he's working on that.
Is this his first movie?
Yes, or maybe his only movie.
Wow!
And the thing is. He finished it like 4 years ago. It was in like on a shelf somewhere, and he saw my story and he sent it to me. I said, "This is great."
That right? Yeah. That's how it happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, wow.
Tom McNamara.
Well, it's a tough thing, and I don't know the movie business as well as you guys do, but it's a tough thing.
We don't know.
It's hard to
about
sell
it
a movie. I mean, I go out and say, "Yeah, I got a documentary about 9/11."
Oh yeah.
There's probably everybody can be a movie. You know, here's the thing I don't understand now. I'm 42 years old. I don't know who TikTok people are, like these sensations. Yeah. I don't know who YouTubers are.
Yeah.
Right.
Those are the new celebrities.
Yeah.
So you're right. When you're thinking about in the gist of studio-driven films or anything in Hollywood, you're thinking, we already know who those actors are who are doing those films. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that independently, because they're not part of that A-list celebrity group and they're not attached to a studio.
Yep.
They might not be a YouTuber or a TikTok sensation.
Yeah.
Their stuff kind of gets thrown off to the side, and it's a shame.
Well, this is why the Irish American movie Hooli is just a showcase for things that might not
have ever been seen.
Sure. Ever seen.
I
have a wide distribution, but are incredibly moving. And all these are. And we talked about how, you know, sort of odd exorcist like. you know, one of them is like The Exorcist with laughs.
Yes, exactly.
The Exorcist with a lot of laughs. I admire you guys so much for doing this.
And, you know, it's very gratifying because I love to see someone who has a great story get it out there.
Yes.
Get your story out there.
Yeah.
And there it is. It will stand the test of time once, hopefully, we've brought it to the public through the movie Hooli. They have stories to tell that hopefully they'll make more. Many of the people have made other films and are going on to great success.
Sure.
Some we'll never hear from again, God bless them.
Yeah.
But they still did it. You know?
Well, it's that, you know, that it's a celebration of creativity on a level.
That's a great line.
You've been in that world, and so you are too now, Billy. And I admire you guys tremendously. And if you can see, it's easy to see all the movies. And I'm sure, can you buy a ticket for all three of them, or how's that work?
I don't know. That's up to the theater.
Yeah, no, I think it's just individually every
night. Yeah, but
they're only $10.
How much is a movie for
$10?
to see them all would be a wonderful way to spend either next weekend or the weekend after.
Or you could see a couple in Elk Park and then go out to Wilmette and see the fun, you know, whatever.
There's a nice idea.
There's
a nice idea. Gentlemen, it's always great to see you.
Rick.
And it's
good
always
to
great
well.
To see
Thanks.
You
God bless, pal.
Carrying on in this.
Shout out to Jimmy Clune and the box player. He wanted me to get that in.
Oh, I forgot to ask you about politics.
That's probably good.
Yeah, come on. That's even good. I forgot to ask you more about the Queen, and I forgot to ask you about politics, and we will take a break and come back and continue on.
Thanks, Rick. God bless you.